Welcome to the Growing in God podcast. The calling of the Lord in this ministry is to lead people into spiritual maturity by revealing biblical truth. Our passion is to see the kingdom of God manifest on earth as the body of Christ grows in unity, power, and love. Growing in God presents the scriptures as your daily guide to a dynamic life of faith. You can find the show notes for this episode, as well as free resources and our library of podcasts at hargraveministries.org. And now, your host and Bible teacher, Gary Hargrave.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. This is a special edition for our Growing in God podcast, as it is produced from a Zoom call that we at Hargrave Ministries have occasionally with our donors. When we have these times together and feel it is important for others to be a part of what we are discussing, we create the meeting into a podcast for release. So I hope that you will enjoy this podcast. And if you like being a part of these discussions, I would encourage you to go to our website at hargraveministries.org and join our fellow workers. So much prayer in this last week or so, and I want the prayer to be our main focus for all that's happening in this country, in and for the United States of America. I think there's a lot of things that at least I've seen that have arisen that are coming to light about the Islamic takeover in many parts of the country, in the U.S., and of course we know what has happened in other countries like in Europe that are very concerning because of the allowance of this movement. It really is the Islamification of nations. And one thing that I just want to say about it is I feel like it's time for people's voices to be released to speak the truth and to make the truth the issue. And when I say that, one of the things I'm referring to is the fact that when we look at this Islamification that's taking place, we realize that we're not dealing with a religion. What Islam in America, I know for sure, is demanding is that they are demanding a society that dwells and functions alongside of the American society. Its social life, its governance, its judicial system. And I want that really to sink into our hearts, because in our prayer, I want the reality of that to be something that comes through the vibration of what and how we're praying. A lot of what's happened up to this point has happened all in the name of freedom of religion. And things are still continuing as freedom of religion. But when what is being done and what is being demanded to have the freedom to do is to have a society that exists alongside another society, that's not freedom of religion. And I don't think we're trying to take away from or violate our own constitution about freedom of religion. But in the Constitution, there's nothing that provides for the right of a country to establish a simultaneous country within the borders of the United States and to function. To put it simply, if China brought in millions of Chinese and bought property in Texas or in Michigan or in New York or someplace and started existing, not blending into America, not looking to become citizens of the country in their culture or their lifestyle, but instead demanding that they bring in Chinese courts and Chinese language and Chinese schools and Chinese government systems, communism, to be able to function in this country under their communist government. I mean, when you put it in that context, you just go, you know, that would fly for about 10 seconds and people would be just literally shutting that down so fast it would make your head swim. But literally, we have that in America right now where the Islamists, and so let's call them that. Let's not call them Muslims. Let's call them Islamists because they are bringing Islam. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a country. It's a society. It is a system of jurisprudence. It is a system of government. It is a system of education. It is a system of language, which if brought into our country would change the times and the seasons and the language, just like the Bible says. And so we're not to try to confront it in a stance of religious freedom. You're going to lose on that one. And that's what's happening is people are losing because they're coming back saying, well, you're taking away our freedom of religion. No, I'm not. I'm taking away your freedom to have a government running simultaneously to our government in the United States. You want to end our Constitution and function under a different constitution. You want to end our court system and function under Sharia law, which is a separate court system, which is actually happening already. What I'm saying is not, oh boy, someday this could happen. I'm talking about we're already a day late and a dollar short. And by the way, the barn door is open and the cows are out. They are already functioning under Sharia law, which they're saying our constitution allows for if a religion has a way of dealing with justice within its religious community and people choose to, they can go to that. But that is not what's happening. You've got court systems of Sharia law, which are established. In fact, they had to take down their website and the writing on the front of the building because it literally talks about the fact that because America has such a horrible system and the Constitution's bad and the jurisprudence is bad and people can't afford to have justice in America and whatever, we choose to have our own systems. But people aren't given a choice of whether they want to go to a U.S. court or Sharia law. They're under Sharia law. They're under the restraints of this community. So what we've got to do is recognize this. And when we talk to people, not get hung up in fighting this thing or discussing it in the terminology that it wants you to. It's very much riding in on the woke movement that we've been under for years. And the woke movement taught us to shut up, sit down, and not do anything about this. But the truth is, if you're going to be in this country and say you're part of America, then I want you to prove it. Because what we want to be able to do is speak freely about the fact that Allah is not God, Allah is Satan. We want to be able to freely speak on the streets that the Quran is not the word of God. It is a lie out of the pit of hell, and that it tells you to murder people and all of this stuff, which you're actually wanting to do in your court systems. So we've got to do this at some point. I mean, just ask somebody. So if Islam is this wonderful, loving thing, am I free to go out on the street with placards like somebody did in France with a cartoon caricature of Muhammad, of the Ayatollah or whatever? And the answer is no. What happened? The person's shot and killed. I mean, that's their answer for people that don't go according to following their rules. If you're saying you want to be in the United States, then are you going to raise your hand and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and recite the Pledge of Allegiance? Are you going to be committed to the Constitution, to follow the Constitution and live according to the Constitution? And the answer to all these questions would be no. And so again, it's proof that we're not dealing with a religion. We're dealing with a nationalism that literally wants to, for the moment, function simultaneously to the existing government of the United States Until, of course, it can get powerful enough that it can take over the government of the United States. Because again, we know, and it's a good question, so isn't it the determination of the Islamists that every nation must serve Allah and must be under Sharia law? And if they're not, then they are to be demeaned or killed or whatever. This has gone way too far already. And I think that what we realize and face, we know God is a God of love. We know that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, and that we're not fighting flesh and blood. And I don't think we're fighting flesh and blood. I think we're fighting Satan himself. I think this is all born out of the pit of hell. I think these people are sorely deceived, and I think they need salvation through Yeshua, and they need to recognize that Jehovah is God, Elohim is God, Allah is a false God, and all these things need to be able to be freely said in the public forum and not disallowed. Like they are in Europe. You can't talk about this stuff on the street. Literally, pastors are being arrested for talking about salvation on the street. And so it's not a matter of fighting flesh and blood. It's a matter of the power of God's kingdom coming to earth. And that's what we're praying for. We're really praying and intently set on the simple prayer that Yeshua taught us, and that is, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Because the kingdom is not a kingdom that is in heaven. The kingdom comes to the earth from heaven. And Yeshua said that. My kingdom is not of this earth. In other words, it's not sourced from this earth. All these other kingdoms we're talking about, they are sourced from man and from the earth. God's kingdom is not sourced from the earth. It's sourced from heaven, but it comes to earth and it rules and reigns on the earth. And while we're praying about those things, one thing I really want us to pray about is Christian believers, because the scripture that I kept getting this week was, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that sword goes both ways. It's a two-edged sword. So if we apply it to ourself, if we apply it to Christianity, part of what we're seeing happen is because of the division within what is called the church, or if you want to take church out of it, within Christianity itself. The division within Christianity is something we need to be repenting of. How Christ is going to bring oneness, I don't know. But I know he said that in John 17. His drive was he and the Father are one, and that we will all be one. And if we're not one, we are weak. And if we're not one, we cannot stand. And part of what's happening is because of the lack of oneness. I know we talked about John Stevens earlier. And one thing about John is that he was very concerned about the church and where it had already gone and where it was going. Because church right now, if you just say church, Christianity and church are two different things for me. Because you have churches that are given to, their whole focus is the LGBTQ, and getting that. There's churches that are given to abortion. There's churches that are looking for the destruction of Israel and believe that Israel is committing mass destruction and following with another Holocaust. The church, it's hard to just look to the church to be an answer. But I think believers, as John said, coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ, now that's an answer. Because then we all answer to his will and his purpose in our lives and as a collective. And one of the things I think that we've got to see brought out is the whole rapture deal. Because I'll tell you, a lot of the passivity that we see about what's happening in the earth is because Christians don't care about the earth, because they're going to get sucked out of it. And they're going to be caught off into heaven. and they're going to be fine. They're not going to suffer. And anybody who's left here on the earth is suffering because they did something wrong or they're bad people. And of course, they include the Jews in that because they see the tribulation as a time of punishment for the Jews not receiving Yeshua. Don't get me started on that one, okay, because we're almost out of time. But I'm concerned about the earth. I know the kingdom of God is sourced from heaven. I know that there was war in heaven and Satan was cast out of heaven because there was no longer a place found for him. That to me has to be duplicated on the earth because the kingdom of God, as we know it, manifests on earth. It's Christ's second coming to the earth and manifesting his kingdom here with us. And I know we will live in two realms at once. So we will have access to that heavenly kingdom and we will be living in this kingdom. And it's all going to be a pretty cool thing as it manifests. But this idea that, hey, we don't have to be strong and driven about what's happening physically. And I repeat the scripture, our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle is all about our battle manifesting in its finality in the earth on a physical level. It was this way. Every time we see God move in the scriptures, look at Egypt. God came down and his judgment manifested on the physical earth. He dealt with Egypt. He opened the door for a physical kingdom for Israel, for the land to be taken, for them to be set free. And we see that repeat itself. It repeats itself in a lot of scriptures, but we see it for sure in Ezekiel 38, which is a big one to me because Ezekiel 38 is kind of like seen as the last battle, you know. But what happens at the end of Ezekiel 38 in the war that God initiates? He said in verse 21 of 38, I'll call for a sword against him on all my mountains, declares the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. And see, we're going to see this thing of division reversed against all of these fractured realities that exist right now in America and in the earth, because I think the problem we're facing is the division. The division weakens us to the point where there's no authority to move. He said, I'll call for a sword against him in all my mountains. With pestilence, with blood, I will enter into judgment with him and I will rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him, a torrential rain with hailstone, fire, brimstone. So he talks about all the stuff that he's going to do in the earth of bringing the judgment. He talks about it in 2 Chronicles when we see Jehoshaphat facing the war coming against him, and God gives him the key. But what happened in that war was God himself came down and brought every man's sword against himself and brought the judgment that way. But it was physical. God physically ended the conflict on the earth. And our prayer may be a very spiritual one, and our weapons may not be carnal, and our battle is not against flesh and blood. Doesn't mean God's battle isn't, and doesn't mean he's not going to resolve what's going on in this physical earth, because this is our place. And just as we fight for Israel to have its land of promise, to me, we also fight for the kingdom of God to cover the whole earth and fill all of the earth. The earth is the Lord's. So all of these things to me are going to take place. And as I said, my concern is this battle of division, because it's the anger, it's the hatred, it's the vision. You listen to people talking and it's just so divisive. But I thought it was interesting because when you look scripturally at these battles that take place, even going back to Egypt, the battle really was about the oneness. First of all, Israel had to come into oneness surrounding Moses. They had to get over their division and their separation because they were ready to kill Moses when he came and talked to them. And when we see what transpires in Ezekiel, we see the need for God's people to come together as a unity. But what's coming against them? It's the Gog and Magog. It's these divisions of the nations. And we need to know in our hearts that these people who seem so one in what's happening now in this country, that seems so one that we can actually see socialists and communists winning elections in American polling and voting, those splinter groups that are coming together are very fragile. And what happens in my mind at the end of it, it is what is talked about in Daniel, because in Daniel, that is the fourth kingdom. The fourth kingdom is the iron and the clay that comes together as the feet in the image. And it says about the iron and the clay that they combined one with another in the seed of man, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to an end all these kingdoms, but it itself will endure. So what happens is you see this final kingdom that we're facing. It looks very strong and it looks very scary, but it's made up of division. And if you look at what's winning the vote, you say, how in the world? I don't know, maybe you don't do this. I do. I go, how in the world could a socialist communist get elected in New York, in Michigan? For God's sake, how in the world could the Midwest see these kinds of people elected? And if you dive into it and look at how it's happening with all these splinter groups that have this myopic focus on what they're concerned about coming together under somebody. So here's what I'm talking about. So you have the gay community coming together. You have what's going on with the left and the right in politics, the amazing division now that we have in politics between Democrats and Republicans. But you have the abortionists that are coming together. You've got the people that are wanting to see sanctuary cities set up for peoples to come in from other nations into our country. You have the people who believe that we should be paying reparations to the blacks for slavery. And if you go down through what makes up America right now, it is amazing the division that exists, and the division is all around very specific issues. Got to have abortion. So what happens? You know, you get all these splinters, and because they so are driven to have their thing pass, they know they can't do it. There's not enough people that want reparation for the blacks that you're going to get a candidate elected just by that group, right? So you have to come together with other groups. So all of a sudden you go to the abortionists and you go, hey, you know, let's find somebody who represents you and represents me. And then we go to the Palestinian cause and say, you know, we've got to have fairness for the Palestinians. And you know how much they morph in the rhetoric now. So it's about Palestinians. It's not about the Gazans anymore. That's not the big word that's being used. It's the Palestinians and the Palestinian land. So these peoples are coming together because you find some person who's willing to be the joining of all these things, like Mamdani. What is he saying? Well, he's for all of them. He wants socialism. He wants free food. He wants free busing. He wants the abortion. He wants the Palestinians to have their rights. He wants free borders and open borders. You look at these people, they're representing all of these fractured groups. And it looks just like the image in Daniel. It's the different little pieces coming together, held together by the satanic iron force of the demonic kingdom that's trying to be made, Matthew 13. So we see that happening really before our very eyes, and that's how you can get enough votes. It's not really that hard. I mean, I was trying to make sanity out of voting in Hawaii, and in my research, what did I come to find out? I came to find out that anybody coming into this state illegally that has a valid passport from their home country, or a valid driver's license from their own country, or a birth certificate from their own country, can go down and get a driver's license in Hawaii. And what happens when you get a driver's license? It's not the star thing, so it doesn't act as a passport, but immediately your name goes into the voter registration. So anybody can vote in Hawaii that just goes down and gets a driver's license. And I'm just going, oh my God, that's insane. That's absolutely insanity. But we live in a time of insanity. And I just think that it's time for us to rise up in our faith and know this earth belongs to the Lord and we're not giving it up. And I don't want to sit here with a Christianity that says, oh, don't worry about it because God's in control and we're all going to be just caught up into heaven and this is going to be left as the place of judgment. No, in the deliverance from Egypt, when God came down, he said, I've heard their cry. I've heard their cry and I've seen their suffering. And I think there's enough suffering that we've gone through, that we're going through. And I'm just talking about America because it's the place I know the most detail about. But gosh, we could be talking about Germany. We could be talking about France. We could be talking about England. We could be talking about many countries in Europe and many other countries. Finally, Denmark. You know, Denmark outlawed the Islamists and are sending a lot of them home. Great idea. So I just think that there's got to be something. God came down because he heard the cry. I think we need to be the cry. I'm not saying that we get into a physical altercation, but I'm also not saying that we passively just see this as something going on in the spirit realm. It may initiate from the spirit realm, but it manifests in the physical realm. It's got to manifest here. I don't know how else you have a deliverance out of Egypt unless God comes down and you have a death to the firstborn. There's just no other way. I don't know how you have an end to the war in Ezekiel 38. I don't know how Jehoshaphat wins the battle without God coming down and turning the swords of them against each other. And it's interesting in all those occasions when you read the stories, the people coming against Israel, they were all fracture groups, you know, like somehow related to Lot and what he was into, what he was wanting. You know, Lot wanted his own thing, right? He wanted his own land and he wanted his own pasture land and all this kind of stuff. So it's that same thing. People want what they want without a concern for the good of the majority and the good of the nation and the good of the country. And that's how this country started, was people who were willing to give up personally and lay their lives on the line, lay their wealth on the line, lay whatever on the line for the good of the whole, not just what they want. Look at the Revolutionary War. People left their families, their farms, and they knew that this country, if it was going to stand, yeah, they prayed. I mean, nobody prayed like Washington prayed for God to come through. But the final victory was manifested on a physical level. And I just want us to remember what we're looking for, what we're initiating, may be initiated in the spirit, but we cannot forget that what we're crying out to God for is the manifestation in the physical plane of this world. Okay, I think that's it.
Hearing God's word is the first step to being changed by it. Growth happens when faith in that word compels us to take action and allow God's power to work in our lives. I trust this message will encourage you to step out in faith, to believe God's word, and to accomplish greater things in the name of Yeshua. You are listening to Growing in God, the Bible teaching podcast of Gary Hargrave, the founder of Hargrave Ministries. If this message stirred your heart, then we want to invite you to visit hargraveministries.org to find the show notes for this episode, as well as free downloadable resources. You'll also find our library of additional episodes that will minister the truth of God's Word and help you grow in your personal walk with the Lord. Please subscribe to Growing in God on our website, hargraveministries.org, or follow Growing in God on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast provider. This podcast is made possible through the generosity of friends and partners of Hargrave Ministries. Will you consider supporting our work today? You can make a contribution by visiting our website at hargraveministries.org. Join us for more insights into God's Word and the principles that will help you develop authentic spiritual maturity on our next edition of Growing in God.